Be seated. Brothers and sisters of hope, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My text this morning is on the gospel lesson that was just read from Mark. Charles Dickens, in his famous novel, The Tale of Two Cities, opens with this: "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was an age of wisdom, it was an age of foolishness. It was an epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was a season of light, it was a season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. We had everything before us, we had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven, we were all going direct the other way." You know, in our gospel lesson today, it was really hard for me to find gospel when you read this story of the beheading of John the Baptist. But I think what it points out, like Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, we're going to have a tale of two kingdoms, of two persons. There's the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of Herod, or the world. There's John the Baptist, and then there is Herod. I mean, this story is like what you watch on Netflix. It's a story of intrigue, displaying greed, envy, lust, resentment, and murder. All the trappings of the kingdom of the world. This is the kingdom of Herod. Then there's the kingdom of Jesus. And it's interesting that this gospel lesson, you got to look at Mark and see this gospel and what happens before and then what happens after. Right before, in Mark 5, Jesus was casting out many demons from a man, sending the demons into a herd of pigs, healed a woman with a flow of blood, he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, and then he sends the 12 disciples out on a mission to proclaim the good news. And then verse 13 says, they drove out demons, anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Then at the end of Mark chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000 and walks on water. That's the kingdom of God. But see, King Herod heard about this because Jesus had become well known. He was popular. He was famous. Crowds came out to see Jesus. But see, Herod had John the Baptist beheaded. He thought John maybe was risen from the dead. He feared John. And he thought maybe John came back to haunt him. Now, a little background. The Herod in our text is not the Herod the Great who tried to have Jesus killed as an infant. This Herod is his son named Antipas. Because at the death of Herod the Great in 4 BC, the Romans divided the land of Israel among his four sons. Antipas ruled over Galilee. However, while in Rome, visiting his brother Philip, Antipas persuaded Herodias, the wife of Philip, leave your husband and come with me. And of course, marriage to one's brother while having the brother alive was forbidden by the law of Moses. And John the Baptist called him out for it. And I'm sure he did this in public for everyone to hear as Herod and Herodias paraded around, or when Herod went to hear John speak. And you know what? Herod was familiar with Jewish law and religion. He liked to hear John the Baptist. The text says he feared John, knowing he was a righteous man. But at the request of Herodias and the constant badgering of Herodias about this John and what he's doing and embarrassing us, Herod had John arrested and put into prison. Because he said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. You see, John the Baptist stood up for the truth, God's truth. And so you and I are also called to stand up for God's truth and what is right. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It was John who said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus said that John was the greatest prophet up to that time, yet least in the kingdom of God. So John's in prison. And I don't know how long, scholars would say probably a whole year. And that's as Herodias nursed a grudge against John. Prison wasn't enough. She wanted to kill him. Dead. But she wasn't able to, because Herod feared John and protected him. And he knew he was a righteous man and holy man. So you have two kind of things going on here. There's Herodias' grudge, and there's Herod, who knows living in a sinful life, but yet he feared John. There was something gnawing at his conscience. You see, to nurse a grudge is to get revenge, to get even. It's born out of hatred. And Herodias hated John for what he stood for. And isn't that true in the kingdom of the world? And today, we want to get revenge. We want to nurse a grudge. We're going to get even. But it ends up in death. See, Herod had this gnawing sense of what John was preaching was the truth. I'm sure he felt a sense of guilt for his living in his adultery. His conscience was bothering him. So between him and Herodias, a perfect storm is brewing. Finally, verse 21, the opportune time came. Herod's birthday. And he gave a great banquet. And it says, the scripture says, the high officials and military commanders, leading men of Galilee, were present. And Herodias' daughter, Salome, probably a teenager, probably very good to look at, came to the banquet to dance before Herod and the guests. And I'm sure it was quite a seductive dance to appeal to Herod's lust and gain his favor. This is what sin does. And this is what the world does. It seduces us. It traps us into thinking the kingdom of the world is somehow better than the kingdom of God. But it's all a lie. It's Satan's lie. And then it says, Herod was so pleased with Salome that he said to her, ask for whatever you want, even up to half my kingdom. What a stupid thing to say, up to half my kingdom. I'm sure Herod had a few drinks, and he had Salome on his brain. So Salome right away goes to her mother, Herodias. What shall I ask for? And you could just see Herodias, this is, I got it now. I got what I want. I'm going to get my revenge. I want you to get me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. That's what Salome said to Herod. I bet you could hear a pin drop. Can you imagine Herod? What? What do I do? John's a righteous man. He says things that are right and are true, but then my wife, well, I got my guests, there's the crowd here. My reputation's on the line. He knew what was right. He knew John was a righteous man. But instead of doing the right thing, he caved into the world or the crowd. Herod was a crowd pleaser. So he ordered an executioner to go and behead John in prison. And it says, and then brought John's head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And Salome gave it to her mother. She got her revenge. What would we do when confronted with a choice to do what is right or do we cave in to the world or the crowd? To follow Jesus or the crowd? Would we stand up for God's truth? Or would we be a crowd pleaser? And many Christians today become crowd pleasers instead of following Jesus. Hear what the Apostle John says in 1 John. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and here it is, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And see, that's the two kingdoms we live in. But God is telling us that no, you can't have one foot in one and one foot in the other. You must be totally committed to me. Jesus calls us to be his witnesses, and sometimes this can be dangerous. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe. He calls us, Jesus calls us to share the message of truth to the ends of the earth, to bear witness to God's truth in our homes, in the workplace, and in our communities. When we do this, God's Spirit is at work in us to be his witnesses. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to stand up for what is right and speak the truth in love. We have a God who will never leave us or forsake us. He wants to give us abundant life. See, the kingdom of Herod is the kingdom of greed, murder, envy, lust, and death. But the kingdom of Jesus is abundant life. John's head was presented on a platter, and our Lord Jesus was lifted up on a wooden cross to bear the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. But guess what? He rose from the dead in order to bring salvation to you and me and to all people. We are not left alone in our hour of tribulation or persecution, but God promises to always be with us, to give us his Holy Spirit to strengthen us in the hour of need. As Jesus said to his disciples, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So yes, it is the best of times. It is the worst of times. We live in dark times. The days are evil. Yet when we are persecuted or going through a tough time, we have the assurance that God is with us because of what Jesus has done for us. He endured for us suffering that is imaginable, that we might have life. And know this from the scriptures, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You have this morning Jesus' presence with you, no matter what happens. He comes to us this morning, here, right here in this family, in his word, and he gives us his true body and his blood when we gather at his table, and assures us the forgiveness of our sins and strengthens our faith to stand against the kingdom of the world. Herodias and Salome are dead. Herod's kingdom is gone. All the kingdoms of the earth will pass away, but because Jesus rose from the dead, his kingdom lives forever, and he's alive in you and me this morning. And you know what? The really good news is he's coming back again to usher in a new heaven and a new earth where we will live forever with him. That's our hope. What a great promise. So, brothers and sisters, let us stand firm in our faith because he is faithful. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise.